It's great to be able to be here again tonight, and I wanted to begin teaching on the restitution of doctrines. And tonight I want to give you kind of the backdrop for that, as I have spoken a little bit about it previously, I wanted to speak about it in depth. And I wanted to start by saying that, you know, it's incumbent upon us to be diligently studying the word of the Lord, preparing our minds, our spirit, even our bodies, for the purpose of the kingdom. That's our whole purpose of life as children of God, to prepare ourselves for the sake of the kingdom. And so, you know, there's a challenge that has to be overcome in order for us to do that. And one of the greatest challenges is to put the past behind us. And sometimes that's very hard to do. It's the greatest stumbling block that we face. Indeed, Paul himself said that it was the one thing that he did in order to go forward. So I want to encourage you today to think about that and to put the past behind. That we're looking forward to what the Lord is doing today, and we have a vision for the future that's coming according to his word. So I want to start by giving you Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, Romans 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want to read that again. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind," or your mind. Our mind works. "That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." And I think this speaks really clearly to the challenges, at least that I have witnessed among those that believe and have no true understanding of what their purpose is in the kingdom or what God's will is pertaining to their specific lives. Because he has a purpose for every one of his children, as a father would have for his children working together here on the earth. So we see that if we're not transformed by the renewing of our mind, and if we are conformed to this world, that we have a difficult time seeing what is God's purpose for our life. Because the scripture says to us, "Be transformed that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So I wanted to say that because it's up to us to study the word. It's up to us to look at the word and to elevate it in our lives, to let our minds begin to, or let the word begin to seep into our minds, into our hearts, which goes down to the marrow of our bones. Praise the Lord for that. So the challenge today is, of course, to not be conformed to the world, to resist conformity to the world. And that's a great challenge in our lives. Because everywhere we look, it really is what the world dictates. And we need to be able to have a different mind than those that are wandering around or walking in the world, living life as though there is no purpose or no end. And we need to know the will of God in our lives. I would like to also say, remember the 10 virgins that are taught about in scriptures. The 5 that had oil and the 5 that didn't have oil, that weren't prepared for the coming of the Lord. The call has been made already that the bridegroom is coming. The cry, "The bridegroom is coming," has been made. And I believe at any moment we're going to hear the bridegroom is here. And we want to be those that are prepared. We want to have that lamp burning brightly so that we can welcome the bridegroom as he comes. In order to speak about the restitution of doctrines, we must first understand and acknowledge the fallen state of the church, that we may truly repent. And beloved, sometimes it's very difficult to start looking at our own lives through the mirror of the word of the Lord, or really letting the word of the Lord deal with us. It's challenging. Sometimes we get to the point where we ignore it. I think of King David and his challenge and his sin with Bathsheba. He had no idea how much that was against the Lord. And the Lord had to bring that to him and make him aware of how displeased he was. And he did that through Nathan the prophet. And I think through us, to us, it's the same way. The word of the Lord has to be allowed to come into our lives. We have to receive it. We have to submit to it. We have to accept it. If we want to be changed, if we want the Lord to deal with us, if we want to understand the things that are in our lives that separate us from the Lord, from the purpose of the kingdom in this time that we live. You know, spending the time in the Word for me has really given me a vision of the church in the world today. And what I've seen is that it's absolutely hopeless unless the Lord does what he says he's going to do, which is revive and restore. And we are desperately in need of these things. We are not sufficient as we are now. So we want to understand the fallen state of the church. And the church of Jesus Christ, as we see it today, is not the same church that began on the day of Pentecost. Would you agree with that? It is so much different than the church that began at the day of Pentecost, which was the beginning of the church. It has changed so much since that day, or since those days. Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." I will build my church. I will build my church. And what we see today is strife and division. The love of Christ has definitely become dormant in many, many lives who profess the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord. The love of many shall wax cold, Matthew 24 tells us, as a sign of the last times. And truly, that's happened in this generation. We can see it. I think that if our minds are always trying to make a justification for the things that we want to allow in our lives, that we become deceived. So for me to acknowledge that this is what I see, the need for love. For love amongst one another, to come against the division that the enemy is promoting in the church today. So we see a lot of strife and division. The love of Christ for one another is not as it ought to be. And the reason is because instead of Jesus building his church, religious man is building his church and his ministry. Men have allowed themselves to be glorified in the ministry or service to the church. The word ministry in the Bible really means to be a servant, to be of service. However, man has brought it to the point that we don't believe that we have achieved God's purpose in our life unless we are elevated, unless we are well known for the things that we do or the things that we promote. But this is not the scriptural way. I fear the apostles would have never allowed themselves to be lifted up while they were here on the earth, because all the glory and all the praise belongs to the Father. Jesus gave the glory for his own ministry to the Father while he was here. He said, the words that I speak are not mine, they're the Father's. Or the Father gave it to me. And he was always exalting the Father in his own ministry here on earth. That was Christ. And we are to be the same way. Another thing that we can realize is that the church today is without power and authority if we compare it to the church at the day of Pentecost when the church began. Today it's without power and authority. Why? Matthew 12 and verse 25 says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided it against itself shall not stand. And the church is divided against itself, which of course can't represent the church of Jesus Christ or the church that he's building. At some way, we've gone a different road and began to build our own churches and establish religion as we thought it ought to be, not by being led by the Spirit. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. There's no hope for a church divided against itself. There's no hope for a family or any group of people divided against themselves, any city. It cannot stand. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. I've chosen to read about the church of Laodicea. There were seven churches that are addressed in Revelations. Of seven churches, five of them were asked or told that they needed to repent, and two did not. I believe we fit into the category that we need to repent. And I'm going to read the scripture concerning the church of the Laodiceans, because I believe it's appropriate for this generation and this country. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15 says, I know thy works. And in every one of the responses or messages that the Lord gave to the churches, the seven churches, every one of them contains this phrase, I know your works. I know what you have done. I know your works. Then the Spirit goes on to tell us that you are neither cold nor hot. He says, I'd rather you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. A horrible thing to hear, especially if you believe like I do that that applies to this day and age, to this church. Next verse says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The worst thing about the state of this church is that it had no idea how far it had fallen. Like King David, who had no idea that God's wrath was against him, had turned against him. So this church had no idea that God was against them. They had they had deceived themselves into believing they were all right. We're doing fine. We're having church on Sunday. We're having church. We have a children's ministry. We have a young adults ministry. We have these things going on. We're doing teaching. We're doing a discipleship course. We're doing choirs, and we're singing songs, so on, and such things like that. But that's not church. Church is far more than that. Aren't you glad that it's far more than that? Revelation, down in verse 19. Listen to these words. Because of the words of hope in the midst of turmoil. The Spirit of the Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Hallelujah. So even in that situation that this church was in, deceiving itself, being far from what the Lord wanted it to be, delusional about what they were doing and how they were serving the Lord. Even in that, it says, the Lord responds to them and says, who I love, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Praise the Lord. You see, beloved, this is our hope. In fact, it's our only hope in the last times, that we receive the chastening of the Lord, recognizing the rebuke of the Lord as his love toward us, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lord is so awesome and so wonderful that he's not going to let us walk blindly into hell, or to darkness, or to destruction. But he comes to us with the word, with the message. And it says to us, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Make it the desire of your heart to turn and follow me. Just like we've been speaking, the cry of the Spirit. I believe it's the cry of the Spirit. It's like that, what the scripture says, you know, that the spirit of Elijah is going to come before that great notable day of the Lord will come. That spirit of Elijah will come in this day as well. The same thing, the announcement of Christ's coming. And a time to repent, just like John the Baptist went out to the Jewish people and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the church, the true church of Jesus Christ in this generation is going to be the same way. It's going to say, repent. Don't be happy. Don't be satisfied, but repent, for Jesus is at hand. His coming is soon. The cry of the Spirit, that voice of the messenger, the spirit of Elijah, is saying, come, let us return unto the Lord, as it did in Hosea chapter 6 in verse 1, which we've been studying. And I pray that becomes a part of your thoughts, part of your life, that come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath broken, or he hath torn, and he will heal. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. Hallelujah. 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 You see, I know that the Lord showed me that in my discouragement and looking at those scriptures and looking at the church and the way it was, or the way it is, sorry, that what hope is there? And the Lord began to show me that he was going to revive his people, that he was going to draw them back to himself, that he was going to have one last move of his spirit to bring his children to the place where they can come and follow him. They can repent just like the prodigal son. In Luke 15, verse 21, it said, "The son said unto him," father, that's the prodigal son, "said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." I've said that prayer more than one time, and my father has heard my cry. He's heard my prayer, and his mercy and grace is evident in my life as I talk to you about these things. But the Lord is saying, I know your works. We're judged according to our works, not our words, not our intent. We're judged according to our works. And what are our works? They are doing what the Lord has asked us to do. We're doing what our Heavenly Father has given us as sons and daughters to accomplish. And I want to say this before I go on, because sometimes I think if you were like I was, you can get a misunderstanding. You know, my personal joy is that you receive the word of the Lord, that the Lord grows in you to such a place that you become a vessel that brings honor to him. That's my joy, to be able to give something that the Lord has given me out to you. My joy, if you're sad, how can I have joy? Amen? Because we're one, we're together. We are the body of Christ. We are the ones that he prayed for, that he chose. So we need one another. We rejoice together. And that's my joy, brothers and sisters. And I long to see what the Lord is going to do through you. And I want to say this to you. Don't diminish the Lord. If you want to diminish yourself, that's fine. I guess if that's what you have to do. And that's not a bad thing, actually. But don't diminish the Lord. The Lord can do anything. With God, all things are possible. So if you think the Lord can or cannot do something in your life that you feel that he wants to do, let him be God and you be the lump of clay. Because our Father is so amazing in his ability to manipulate that clay and make it exactly the vessel that he chooses. Not what you can see. You're just a lump of clay. What can you see? You don't have any vision. He's the creator. But let him mold you and shape you. Let him have the glory when he's finished. Okay, let's move on to our Savior's prayer. Our Savior's prayer. Jesus, this is how he prayed. This is truly the real Lord's prayer. It's found in John chapter 17. But it describes to us that oneness is a thing of the Spirit. You know those things of the Spirit that natural man cannot receive? Oneness is a thing of the Spirit. It's not a thing of men. In fact, it's impossible for men to have that. John chapter 17 and verse 11 says, "And now I am no more in the world," Jesus praying, "but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Hallelujah. I don't think there could be any higher calling than to have that prayer from our Savior be made to heaven, to the Father, on our behalf, that we would be one as they are one. But that's not the end of it. In fact, that's the beginning, and I got a little bit ahead of myself. That they may be one as we are. And then he says in verse 20, this is about you and I. And I'm going to read from John 17, verse 20 to 23. That last verse I gave you was in verse 11 of John 17. So this one is John 17 and verse 20. It says, "Neither pray I for these alone," in other words, his disciples, those who had been following him. "I'm not just praying for those, but I want to pray to you, Father, for those that are going to believe on me because of their testimony, because of their witness. I'm praying for those." And you know, I've had great delight in the revelation from this scripture by going to the countries that I go to in Africa or India or China, wherever it may be, and say, Jesus himself has prayed for you. He's prayed for your country and your people by this prayer. "Neither pray I just for these disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word or their testimony." I'm a believer because of that word that was spoken down through the ages, and it finally came into my heart. And now I am one of those people that Jesus prayed for. You are one of those brothers and sisters that Jesus lifted up to his Father in heaven before he left this earth. And then he said to, after that in verse 21, he says that they all may be one. Hallelujah. 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 Every country of the world, every nation, every people, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ through the witness that came down through the ages, through the disciples, through the apostles, through every godly man and woman who went before us, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that everyone has brought a testimony as someone witnessed to you, or maybe your mama and daddy. Someone brought that word. Praise God for those men and women who did that. Because it's through that testimony that we have access to the Father through Christ's prayer. And that blessing from the Father is this: Jesus prayed that we would be one. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? The church of Jesus Christ is going to be one because that's what Jesus asked for. And the Father answers his Son's prayer. Let's read it again. "Neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one." What is his prayer to the Father? That they all may be one. What does Jesus want more than anything else? That they all may be one. What was the commandment that Jesus gave to his church? That you love one another as I have loved you, that you may be one. That's why. One. Because the devil is in division. The devil is in anger and hatred and separation. But the Lord is in unity and blessing in that unity. Love, compassion, and joy. Everything comes because of that oneness, which is a spiritual thing. They all may be one. Listen to this. "Father, as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in you, that they also may be one in us." Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What's going to be the result of the church being one? Well, this next phrase kind of describes the whole revival thing in a nutshell. That when the Lord or the church starts to, or sorry, the Spirit of the Lord comes down and starts to bring the church to oneness, the result of that oneness, that revival of oneness, is going to be this, which Jesus said and prayed for, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Hallelujah. The greatest testimony in this generation to the world is that we love one another, is that we are one. And I know that you can see like I see that the devil is working day and night to destroy that oneness. There is no compassion, or the compassion is next to nothing. There is no love. There is no forgiveness. Mercy, where is it gone? But beloved, the most exciting thing that we're going to see is this oneness take place, this love that God is going to restore on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. I get so excited. I get discouraged if I just put my mind on that. But when I read further in the word of the Lord, that hope comes. And it's so clear. Something's about to happen. Something's at the door. Something is knocking at the door of my heart. And I believe your heart. And many people, not only here, but in other nations, in other countries. I know that people are seeing the same thing as you and I are talking about today. That the world may believe that you have sent me. How is that going to happen? That they may be one as you are in me, and I'm in you, that they are one in us, that the world may believe. The purpose? The world may believe. What is the purpose? That the world may believe. Hallelujah. That you, Father, have sent me. And listen to verse 22. And the glory, that wonderful glory that you gave me, I have given them. The purpose? That they may be one. Hallelujah. Even as we are one. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You can't separate them. Although they have differences in ministry, you can't separate them. They're one. Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Glory. The last verse, 23. Just as Jesus' prayer before he went to heaven. Jesus says, I in them, and thou in me. Father, you in me. That, listen to this, because this has to do with what we're studying, that they may be made perfect in one. That they may be made perfect in one. Because the scripture we're going to use to study the restitution of doctrine is Hebrews 6:1, which I'm going to read, that let us go on to perfection, that they may be made perfect in one. As long as there's division, as long as we allow the enemy to have that division in our lives or in our midst, then we're not able to be perfected. Listen to this again. One more time, he brings it up. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as you have loved me. You see, the way to let the whole world know that God in heaven and his son Jesus Christ is alive or real, came to the earth, died, rose again, is that you and I have this spiritual love, the miracle of love one for another in a time of extreme division. And surely we've witnessed it in this generation. So greatly is the division in government, in families, and in everything. It's horrible. So let us not be used to sow discord. We know how the Father hates discord. Let's not be used to sow discord among the brethren or cause division in the church. We need to keep quiet sometimes, no matter what our feelings are, because we're children of the Lord. We're children of the Spirit. And our feelings sometimes get a little bit too haughty in our lives, and we give way too much preeminence and allow them to have a foothold where they shouldn't have a foothold. We should trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. It's His church. He's building it. So let's not, you and I, be used for sowing discord or causing division in the church. But remember the commandment, love one another as I have loved you. You know, I want to give you one of the things that's going to happen that we're going to see in restitution, and there's going to be everything that was there in the beginning is going to be restored. Worship, prayer, prophecy, ministry. Everything that was there is going to be visible, especially love. And I want to read in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to use this as my last scripture tonight. And it's about the restitution of the ministry gifts. And this sometimes is hotly contested, especially for people that are afraid to give credence to the ministry gifts that God gave. However, they are on the earth today, and they will be revealed on the earth in this generation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Verse 11, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." The purpose of these ministry gifts is given to us in the next verse. Verse 12 says, "For the perfecting of the saints." Because we want to know, as the Spirit tells us, let us go on to perfection. Let's leave this place we're in right now and let us go on this journey to perfection. So we see these ministry gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12. And that word means that there's nothing left wanting. Perfection, the interpretation literally means that there's nothing left wanting. That everything that we are meant to receive, we have received. Everything meant to be done has been done. So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and that ministry is the service or the work of a servant in the kingdom of the Lord. The work of the ministry, listen to this, for the edifying, which means building, of the body of Christ. And so what do we see in there, again, that we've been studying the last couple of weeks? For the edifying, or the building up of the temple of the Lord in the body of Christ, in the members of the body of Christ. So the ministry gifts are needful. In fact, it should become our prayer request to the Lord. Lord, we need to have you restore the ministry gifts on the church, on the earth today, that we might be brought to perfection, that we may be brought to a place that you can build us up and reveal yourself on the earth. You can build up your temple in the vessels of human bodies. Verse 13, how long are these ministry gifts going to be here that God gave? Because some believe that there are none just because they don't see any. And yes, I have to agree. I have rarely encountered some of these gifts, but I have the odd time teaching, pastors, evangelists. However, apostles and prophets is a different story. And Just because I haven't seen them doesn't mean that God hasn't meant them to be. And my prayer is that the Lord revive these ministry gifts in men, in women who are called to that purpose. Verse 13, how long are these gifts here? Until we all come in the unity of the faith. Those gifts aren't gone because we haven't come to the unity of the faith. Those gifts are more necessary today than they have been ever before. They are necessary now. We need them now. So we can all come to the unity of the faith, and listen, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to truly know the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. There it is. Without want or wanting for nothing. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we come to the place where we're just like Jesus. And I don't want you to be faithless today as we end our teaching. But, you know, when I was young, I often thought about the teachings like this, and I thought, you know, I know who I am. At least I knew who I was up until that point in my life, and I thought, I will never be able to be like Jesus. Jesus was the most amazing, awesome person that ever was on the face of the earth. I could never come to that place. And I had to learn to stop saying that, because I was letting, or I was putting the Lord in this little cage of understanding that I had, and not allowing him to be God. But beloved, we have to allow him to develop us and believe that even somebody like myself, or perhaps somebody like you, can be made to be just like Jesus was when he was here. Exactly the same, that they couldn't tell the difference. Do you believe that's possible? Do you believe that that's possible? And say, I believe that's possible. I believe the Lord can manifest himself in me in such a way that I'll be just like my Savior was. Hallelujah. Okay, closing with these scriptures. Till we come unto the measure, stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth from now on be no more children, but we can mature. That we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh my goodness, this is so true today. And people want to hear what they want to hear. Not what they should hear. Not what the Spirit's saying, for sure. Carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Are there such people like that in our own country? The answer is yes. The Lord warned us about that. Trust the Lord. Don't trust men. Trust in the Lord. He'll never fail you. But speaking the truth in love. Amen? Let's say it again. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Listen to this last verse I'm going to read. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. Can you see that? That was quite a mouthful. But if you take it apart, you just realize that the Lord has in store for you and I what they call like a feedback loop. It's sound. If you ever see two mics picking up the same sound, whatever, and it starts to come through the speakers and it gets louder and louder and it's so quick, gets out of control really fast. But a feedback loop where you're feeding on your own self, on your own joy, on your own love. That's what's happening here. That the edifying of the body, the body edifying of itself in love. And then we give out. And then we edify more. Then we give out. And then we're edified. And as we're built up, we give out more. And as we as others are built up, we receive more. The restitution of the feedback loop. It's not in the scriptures, but I think it's an awesome description, what I believe that we're in store for. Anyway, I'm going to stop there for tonight. God bless you. And we'll see you again soon. Get ready.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor.